to go see Jesus very early in the morning. They loved him so much, they wanted to put some spices on his body to show that they cared about him. And they were really confident they knew where Jesus was, because where he was behind... It's not working, can you flick that? Where he was behind a really big stone, a stone so massive they were unable to lift it, unable to move it. And so they were sure that his body was safely behind there. But as we read from our Bible this morning, they are in for a surprise. If you want to follow along, we look at verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. This young man in the white robe alarms them, and so he should. They're going to a tomb expecting to see the tomb closed and have Jesus' body safely inside. And instead, what they find is a young man dressed in white and Jesus' body missing. So where is Jesus? This is our mystery this morning that I actually need your help with. We need to investigate where Jesus is. And the only lead that we have so far is this young man dressed in white. So let's find out. Let's ask him. Let's find out from this young man what he actually knows. Have a look at verse 6. This is what he says. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So this gives us our first two clues. The place where Jesus was is empty, and the young man says that he is risen. Now, I need my little detective's help here. The tomb is empty, but how are we going to know if Jesus is actually alive? This happened 2,000 years ago, so we can't go back in time to have a look. So what sort of evidence are you going to need to know that Jesus is alive? So you've got about 10 or 20 seconds, just turn to the person next to you, let them know what you think you'd need to know that Jesus is alive. Go. Okay, how'd we go? We got an idea? I think there's two things that we really need to know. One, did anyone actually see him? And two, did the person that saw him, were they reliable? Are they trustworthy? So let's, as investigators, let's think about these two things. Has anyone actually seen Jesus alive? Well, Mark doesn't actually tell us this, but according to both Matthew and John, the first person to see Jesus alive is Mary Magdalene. And that happens a little bit after our Bible reading today. But Mary Magdalene is not the only person to see Jesus. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says there's a lot of people who have seen Jesus. There's a guy named Cephas. There's the 12 disciples. There's more than 500 people, most of those who are still alive when Paul's written this. And then there's James. And then there's all the apostles. So as investigators, we've got some people who have seen Jesus. Now the big question is, how do we know that? Can we trust them? How do we know that they are reliable? Now, I reckon as investigators, we've got three really good reasons for thinking that they're reliable. And the first one is that the first witness was a female. According to Judaism, they didn't take the witness of a female. It's a bit different than us today. And that means if you were going to make up a story that you wanted people to believe about Jesus being alive, you wouldn't pick a female as the person to be the key witness. Even 200 years later, Christians are still getting mocked and teased for having a female as one of the first people to see Jesus alive. So that's the first one. Number two, many of those people who have seen Jesus are still alive at the time when Paul writes this. That means it's really easy to go see their name and go and ask them and say, what happened, and find out the information. It also makes it really easy, if you know that's not true, to go and prove that it's not true, because you can do that at that time. And then number three, and I think this one's really important too. the change that happens in those who have seen Jesus. Right now, the male disciples are nowhere to be seen. It's only the women that are left. They're too scared to come out. And yet after these guys have seen Jesus, they're willing to go to their death and to suffer brutally just so they can tell people that Jesus is alive. There's not really any other good explanation for why that would be the case. And so we've got three things that suggest that these people that have seen Jesus is alive, that we've got three things to suggest they're reliable. And that means as investigators, we have to conclude that it's at least possible, if not probable, that Jesus is alive. But for us, that actually raises another question. Why didn't Mark tell us? Now I need my investigators again to have a look and see if we can find this next clue. Let's have a look at how Mark finishes his story about Jesus from verse 7. The man says this, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. My little investigators, do you see the clue in what this young man has said? Is there something there that's said that might be helpful to us? How about this? The man says, just as he told you. Mark actually wants the people reading his story to go back through that story and see if his story checks out. He wants us to investigate Jesus for ourselves to see if it all makes sense. Mark is not so much interested in just telling us facts, but he wants us to look into it so that we can actually believe in Jesus, that we can respond to that, and that we can believe what Jesus has done for us. Now, if you find yourself this morning wanting to sort of investigate Jesus a bit more, on the welcome table out the back after church, we have these really small copies of the Gospel of Mark. It's not very long, as you can see. It's a pretty small book. If you'd like to read a bit more about Jesus' story in Mark and check it out, we're quite happy to give you one of those at the end of the church service today. But since we're all here together, we might as well look a bit more and investigate this together. So what was it in particular that Jesus said that means we should be ready to see what happens here? Let's have a look. What is the big clue? In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says these words. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said. "And the Son of Man," which is why Jesus talks about himself, "will be delivered to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." That's a pretty big clue, isn't it? Jesus has actually told us ahead of time that he will die, and it'll come back to life again. And it happens exactly as he tells us it will. Jesus knows that if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer. But he goes there anyway. Now, kids, if you could predict the future, if you knew that you could avoid a lot of pain, would you do it? Of course you would. All of us here would avoid pain if we could, unless we had a really good reason not to. So what possible reason does Jesus have not to avoid the pain but to actually die? I think this is the big question for us today and the big reason why Mark wants us to investigate Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't just say that he's going to die. He actually says that he's going to rise again as well. For him, he knows that death is not the end. And as we look at the evidence, that at least appears to make sense and to be plausible. And that means that the promise that Jesus makes in John actually could be true. And this is what he says. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." The one who lives by believing in me will never die. They'll live even though they die. Jesus' resurrection actually makes our resurrection possible. It means that death no longer needs to be the end for us. What's interesting about this is straight after Jesus says this particular passage, he turns to the woman that he said it to and he says, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" And I think that's exactly the same reason why Mark wants us to investigate Jesus for ourselves. Do we believe it? The evidence seems to suggest that Jesus is alive, that he rose just as he said that he would. And therefore, the promise that he made that our death need not be the end is valid, it's true. But that's a pretty big claim, isn't it? That's something that deserves us to investigate it. It's worthy of our attention. And so I'd love to encourage you to do that this Easter, to check out this bold claim. Maybe you could pick up Mark's Gospel and read it. Maybe come along on Good Friday and Easter this week and find out more as we think more about what Jesus has done over Easter. Or maybe ask one of your Christian friends about it to get some more information. Don't ignore this message. Investigate it. Check it out for yourself. Believe in it, that you might also live and not die. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you didn't just die, but that you came alive again. And that means something very significant for us too. That for those who believe in you, death need not be the end. In fact, it's just the beginning of a life lived, resurrected with you forever. Please don't let our minds rest until we find out that truth. Help us to investigate it, that we might believe it also. Amen.